You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Paul Kern.
Well, I'm excited about the message today. For those of you that are taking notes and you like to know the titles of messages, the title of my message is Start. And if you were able to see the video, there was a whole lot of footage there that was put together that encapsulates what I want to be talking about today. I want to start out with a question. What's your story? What's your story? And if you're like me, you don't really, you know, very often stop to think about your story because you're really busy living your story. Every day you're getting up and going and living your story. But I think recognizing the pattern of events in our life can make a huge difference, both in your future and how your story ultimately ends. So I think sometimes it's good to kind of look at it and go, okay, what is my story and where is my story going? Because when you understand how your past is influencing your present, you have the power to make better choices about the future. And we all want to make good choices about our future, because when we make good choices about our future, it makes a better ending to our story. And obviously, all of us want to have a good ending to our story. Nobody wants to get to the end of their life and have a miserable story that they wrote. And we're all writing a story every single day. Now, last week, our lead pastor talked on habits. And if you guys did not hear, if you weren't here or you didn't get to hear his message on habits, go back and listen to our podcast. Man, I told Tim it's one of the best messages he's ever preached. I loved it. And I mean, I've listened to it a couple of times. And it was really interesting that Tim preached on habits, because I think it was about maybe a month earlier in our Expand Young Adult Connect group, I actually did a teaching on habits and discipline. And it was right along that same lines. And so I just want to continue going in that same direction today. I thought it was really good what Tim talked about. And I want to add a couple of things, kind of put a little more meat on the skeleton of his message. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, that, you know, habits and discipline, that's not a very spiritual topic. I mean, we're not talking about sanctification or atonement or redemption, the blood of Jesus. We're not talking about spiritual things. And obviously, that's something that we do in our church, and we do that often. As a matter of fact, our next series that we're going to be starting in our midweek services, Discipleship 101, we're going to be going through a lot of these things, a lot of really good foundational basic things that are so important to our faith. But I think a mistake that we can make in life is just not being balanced. You know, I know for me, that's probably an area that I struggle in the most, is finding balance in my life. I tend to be the personality type, and I don't know if you're this way, but some of you out here will identify with this. I tend to be the personality type. When I get into something, man, I am in it. I'm 100% in it, almost to my detriment in it. And so I tend to be a person that has a hard time finding balance. And I think we all deal with that. And I think one of the things that can happen to us is, you know, we find ourselves investing ourselves really heavily over here in a physical realm of life, but we're not really giving ourselves to the spiritual area of our life. Or we may find ourselves, man, we're really giving ourselves to a spiritual area of life, but then over here, this physical area of my life is lacking. And so today, I want to talk about probably more of a physical side of what we're doing. And it does follow along with what Tim talked about this past week. But no matter how you describe your story, here's the good news. Your story is not over. You're here today, and your story is still being written. It's never too late to change the story that you will tell one day about your life. And regardless of what you've done or what you haven't done, your story is still being written here today. You've got more chapters to write, more victories to win, more friendships to make, more experiences with God through prayer and reading the Word and worship. Your story isn't over. It's never too late to change. Come on, it's never too late to start. Can I have an amen? I've heard it said your best decision is the next one that will help you be the person that God wants you to be. And I thought, man, that's good. Your next decision, your best decision is the next one that will make you the person that God wants you to be. And you may ask, well, Paul, where do we start? Where do I start? Well, you start right where you are. And I think this is so important that we recognize everybody has to start where they're at. I've heard it said that the two biggest mistakes that you can make in life is never starting and never finishing. We've got to start. It's very important to God that we start, but it's also very important to God that we finish what we start. Now, like I said, Tim talked about habits in his message, and if you're like most people, you know, you've had good intentions to start new habits in your life. And I think it's a pretty safe bet that many of those good intentions you never followed through on. I don't know if you're like me. I've had good intentions to start habits that I never actually started. And I don't like that about myself, but that is the part of my life that is true. I think we all know what that's like. Regrets set in. We don't feel successful. And you don't feel disciplined. You know, when you set a goal for yourself or a habit you're going to start and you don't achieve it, you just don't feel disciplined. And sometimes you even feel like a failure when you set goals for yourself and you don't accomplish those goals. And I think it goes without saying, we can't travel back in time. We can't start our life all over again. But there's something that you can do, and you can do it today. And I've got good news for you. As you're sitting here in your seats today, no matter where you are at in life, no matter what season in life you're facing, whether you're young or you're older, it doesn't matter. Today, you can start a new discipline that will make a better ending for the story of your life. You know, I've noticed that so many people think that a successful life is made up of big decisions. Big decisions like, you know, you start a new business, or you move to another town, or you develop some new product line that's just going to, you know, blow up, and you're going to be, you know, instant Instagram fame and sell your product on there all day long. I think a lot of people think that. Big decisions are important, don't get me wrong, but I think the truly meaningful life doesn't happen through big decisions that we make. I think a really meaningful life, you build a successful life by stacking hundreds of small decisions over time. Making one right decision here, and 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 one right decision here. And over a period of months and years, you'll look back and go, wow, I've really created some success in my life simply because I've made small, good decisions for myself over a long period of time. Vincent van Gogh said, great things are done by a series of small things brought together. And today I want to talk about what you can start in order to finish well. And I specifically want to focus on life-altering disciplines and habits. You know, God gave us disciplines, and God gave us habits. One of the things that Tim mentioned last week, he said 40% of what we do, we don't even think about. It's just automated. We just wake up and go through our day, and so much of the things that we do throughout our day have been established through habit. When we wake up, what we do when we wake up, what we eat, what we snack on, where we go throughout the day, what we think about, how we respond, what we engage in, what are our interests. Many of those things are just a result of habit. So I want to talk about life-altering disciplines and habits. And I'm not talking about starting a new life mission. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about starting something small. But don't let small and discourage you, because everything starts small. I went to a minister's conference years ago, and I heard an older pastor speaking, and he said something out of all of the things that he said, it just stuck out to me. He said, the only time you start at the top is when you're digging a hole. And I've just always incorporated that into my life. Yeah, that's some of you just now getting. It's like, that's good. That's good. But it's true. It's so true. Small decisions can lead to big results. You know, let me give you an example. When I came here in 1988, I was 23 years old, and I gave my heart to Christ, and I moved to Arkansas from Texas, and I came here to Applied Life Leaders Academy, our internship that we have here in our church. I went through 2 years of our internship, and I graduated, and I'd always served in our ministry. I loved our church. Man, I would, you know, put a water bottle up underneath the podium when our pastor was speaking, or I would help run sound, or I would come mow the lawn or do something around the church to help maybe power wash the buildings or do some painting. I just loved our church. I just wanted to serve. I just wanted to activate my faith and be involved. And our lead pastor, Tim Brooks, came up to me not too quick after I graduated, and he said, "Paul, I want to ask you if you'll do something." And I said, "Sure, what is it?" He said, "Well, you know, we've got a class in our school. It's called Inductive Bible Study, and it's two nights a week on Tuesdays and Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, and I was wondering if you would mind teaching that class for me." And he said, "Now, I'm not going to pay you," and obviously that didn't surprise any of y'all. "It's going to be free." And so, you know, but I just need you to do it. And I was like, "Man, I would love to do it." And little did I know at that time that one small decision to say yes to teaching a class at Applied Life would ultimately lead to me being where I am today. And I think it's so important that we all recognize and understand small things are important to God. Small disciplines. One thing that you start in your life can change the entire outcome of your story. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Do not despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." I think if you try to focus on the end of your story, the last chapter, you're likely going to find yourself paralyzed to write the first page. I mean, it's daunting. It's a little overwhelming. That dream is so great. That dream is so distant. It's so far out. And that's why I'm going to talk about one small step today in the direction of your dream. Let me just give you an example. Let's say, for example, and I ran into this with a couple in our church here a few months ago. They said, "You know, we think we want to run a marathon." And in my mind, I thought, "You are crazy. I'm not running a marathon." But they said, "We think we want to run a marathon." And I said, "Guys, I think that's great. If that's what you want to do, I think you ought to run a marathon. But, you know, if you were to have that thought today, 'I think I want to run a marathon tomorrow,' you would probably fail at running a marathon tomorrow because you're not ready to run a marathon tomorrow." So what they did is they made a small decision to start walking together 3 or 4 days a week for 30 minutes a day, and then they upped it to a fast walk, and then they begin to incorporate a little bit of running and a little bit more running and a little bit more running. And ultimately, here just a couple of weeks ago, this couple in our church got involved in a marathon, and they went from start to finish of the marathon. So you can't go out and run today unless you've been training for months. You can't do that. But what you can do is you can start moving in the direction of where you want to go. Here's what I know. Movement creates moments. Movement creates moments. We've got to have movement in our life if we want to give God something to work with to create those moments of victory. Here's another thing I know. Positive disciplines create more positive disciplines. When we incorporate positive disciplines into our life, it acts as a catalyst to kickstart and bring more positive disciplines into our lives. In other words, good habits create good habits. That's just the way it works. An undisciplined life never leads to productivity. An undisciplined life never leads to progress. So if you don't put the right disciplines in place in your life, one day you're going to find yourself telling a story that you never wanted to tell. And as a pastor, I've had opportunity to sit in my office with people and counsel them, hear their hearts, see their situations. Here's some things that I've heard people say to me. "I was planning on it, but I never got around to it. I should have tried, but now it's too late. I never thought that I would end up here. I wish I could go back and do it all over again. Why didn't I at least try? Look at where I am now." Nobody wants to have that tagline on the story of their life, but the fact is, church, we can probably all look at areas of our life and we can say, yep, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I know all about what that feels like. I teach our interns at Applied Life Leaders Academy about the importance of habits and disciplines, and all of our teachers talk to them about the importance of establishing habits and disciplines in your life. And one area that I always encourage our interns in is physical exercise. And I know most of them, when they come in, they absolutely hate doing the physical exercise that we do at our internship. But 3 days a week from 8 to 9, we're in the gym and we're working out and we're sweating and we're working hard. And most none of them like it. As a matter of fact, most of them have been out of school for a year or two. And so, you know, they're no longer in the basketball mode. They're no longer in the volleyball mode. They're no longer in the football mode. They're no longer in the off-season mode. You know, now they've just kind of been relaxing for a while, so it's even harder for them. But I tell them, they must never, ever, ever quit working out. I tell them they have to incorporate exercise into their life and let it become a lifestyle for them. And I explain to them how working out is essential in my own personal life. And there's just so many benefits that we can see to physical exercise. Now, you might, some of you that don't do this, you know your toes are probably curling up in your shoes right now because I'm stepping on your feet, but that's okay. It's good for you. Now, my message isn't that they get strong muscles, although I want them to, but what I'm trying to convey is that we must all develop and maintain habits because positive habits are triggers in our life for other positive things. And that's why it's so important that we have these. And an absence of these triggers produce bad behaviors in our lives. And honestly, I have a love-hate relationship with working out. I really, really do. I love to work out because I love what it produces in my life. It keeps my heart rate low. It keeps my stress levels low. It makes me feel better about myself. It makes me feel more disciplined. But honestly, when I'm in there doing it, I hate it. You're sweating. It's hot. It's hard. It's painful. And the fact is, you pretty much live your entire life sore in one area of your body all the time. I mean, I've had people ask me, they get into working out and they say, are you sore all the time? And I'm like, all the time. All the time. And you can ask my wife. I'm always moaning and complaining and talking about how sore I am. But I have to remind myself, the decisions that I make today determine the story that I will tell tomorrow. Church, I want to say that again. The decisions that we make today will determine the story that we tell tomorrow. So my question is, what story do you want to tell? See, by choosing not to work out, it opens a door for other problems in my life. Let me explain, and I just kind of walked through a little scenario here that I typed out. When I force myself to exercise and I don't want to, I feel disciplined. I sleep better too. I mean, I sleep well. I wake up for my day, and because I slept well and I wake up ready for my day, I do my Bible reading before I go to work. And then because of that, I go to work in a good frame of mind, and I'm more productive. And because I'm more productive, people applaud my work. And so I come home in a good mood, and because I come home in a good mood, I kiss my wife. And because I kiss my wife, I get dinner. That's a good thing. Things are just more pleasant around the home. On the other hand, when I don't work out, I don't feel disciplined. And when I break that momentum of my discipline, I'm more tempted to drop other habits in my life as well. And since I didn't work out, it helps me rationalize eating more junk food. And those lazy habits haunt me, and I don't sleep well at night, and I toss and turn. I wake up tired. I'm more grumpy than I normally am. I'm more apathetic, and since I don't feel well, I skip my Bible reading, and then I get to work, and because I didn't do my Bible reading, I'm not as focused, and I don't get things done as well. And so I have to work longer at work to get more things done. Well, that puts me getting home late. Well, then my wife's going to be upset at me because I'm getting home so late. She don't want me to get home late. So what I do is I get in my truck and I speed out of the parking lot and I'm heading over to my house. Well, the sheriff's sitting right over here in the parking lot. He sees me doing 80 through the parking lot, which is fun, but wrong. Well, I don't want him to pull me over and give a ticket, so I decide I'm just going to outrun the guy. And so I take out down Brookhill. Well, they call in the cops. They set up a roadblock and they get me. They catch me. down at the end of Brook Hill Ranch Road. And then they cuffed me. And they put me in the back of the car. And then my mugshot's on the 10 o'clock news. See, that didn't end well. All because I didn't work out. Now, I may be exaggerating just a little bit, but you have to agree that certain disciplines do lead to other positive actions in our lives. I've heard it said, behind every great story is another story, but rarely does success come into our lives, church, without time, discipline, and hard work. That's how success comes. Time, discipline, and hard work. I've heard successful people joke that they spent years becoming an overnight success. Some of y'all have probably heard that saying before too, and I believe that's true. I think it's the faithfulness to do the mundane things well, to develop productive habits in our lives daily, and to remain faithful to those things that ultimately lead to our success. I want to share a story with you about a young man named Daniel. Many of you are familiar with Daniel, and I love reading about his story because he's just such an exemplary young man and ultimately ended up having a very challenging life, but Daniel had a very successful life. And many of you know the story. Daniel was taken when he was young, and he was taken into captivity, and he had to come and serve under a king by the name of Darius, and it was a really big kingdom, and you know, the king obviously couldn't run the whole place by himself. So what the king did is he established 120 governors or satraps that he put in charge over his entire kingdom. But he had to have administrators that were in charge of these governors. So he picked three administrators, really gifted men who had a lot of wisdom, and Daniel happened to be one of the men that he put in charge over these 120 people. Well, as time went by, because of Daniel's excellent spirit, God really began to promote him. He began to just be so successful, heads and tails above all the rest. Well, all of these men begin to become very jealous of Daniel. And so they wanted to find a way that they could get Daniel disqualified. So they begin looking all at Daniel's life, trying to find some area of Daniel's life that they could point out some flaw, some weakness in his character, some area where, you know, they could get him in trouble. And yet they search and they search and they couldn't find anything because Daniel was just this exemplary man. And so they begin to think, well, we'll hatch a plan to get Daniel in trouble. Because they knew one area that they could get Daniel, and it had to do in his relationship with God, because they knew that Daniel was a man who was committed to God. And so they went to King Darius and they said, King, oh great king, we have an idea. We think that you ought to pass a law that says that there will be prayer and fasting for 30 days, and the only person people can pray to is you, great king. They knew that Daniel wouldn't go for this. And so the king said, yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think everybody ought to bow down before me and pray to me. I think that's great. And so he passed this law that Daniel would have to do this very thing. Now, when Daniel heard this law that was passed, Daniel immediately said, there's no way that I'm going to do that. I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to put God first in my life. I will never worship a person above worshiping God. And so Daniel did the same thing that Daniel had done for months, years, possibly even decades of his life, that he had always done. One small decision in Daniel's life that changed the course of his story. Just one little thing that Daniel had always done that Daniel continued to do changed the outcome of his story. Daniel went to his room like he had always done three times a day, and he prayed to God and he thanked God for who he was in his life. Well, of course, the king heard about it. We all know the story of David being thrown into the lion's den and the lions didn't touch him. And through that event, God elevated Daniel to a place of putting him in charge over his entire kingdom. That small discipline of prayer equipped Daniel for the lion's den. That small decision that little habit that Daniel started launched him into all that God had for his life. I want to ask you again, what will your story be? What story do you think God wants to tell about your life? When you look at your future, what do you think God wants you to be? What does God want you to want in your heart, in your mind? What are the motivations you believe that God would want you to have? You know, there's a really good chance that right now you can think of something that you know God would love for you to start doing in your life. Just one thing that you can think of that God would love you to start doing in your life. Maybe you're strapped financially, but you know that it would be very pleasing to God for you to get out of the bondage of debt and move your life into a place where you could be a giver and you could help other people. Maybe that's what God is speaking to you today. Or maybe your story could involve changing your priorities. Maybe you're at a place where you're too involved with your career and you're too involved with your work and you've made that a priority over your family and over your children. Or maybe today that you could change your priorities and begin to give more time to your family and more time to your children. Maybe you're not caring for your body, the temple of the Spirit of God. You don't eat right. You rarely exercise. You're often stressed out. Maybe you could start today by saying, you know what? I'm going to incorporate exercise into my life. I know my brother-in-law years ago was having a lot of health issues, and he's a music producer, and he was putting on weight, and he just wasn't doing well and having problems, and he hired a personal trainer to come into his life, to hold him accountable, to get him in the gym. And now he's developed, after these many years, a lifestyle of himself, of exercising, and he's way more healthier than he used to be. I'm not sure what it is for you today, but you know God wants something different for you. Maybe your story could be that you begin to open up your home and have couples come into your house, or maybe some single young adults come into your house and you begin to break bread with them and fellowship and encourage them. See, one small decision today could change your future and what the end of your story looks like. What story do you believe God wants you to tell 5 or 10 years from now? I mean, push it out that far. I mean, it's so easy for all of us to get caught up in living life. And like I said, if you're like me, very rarely do we take time to consider where our story's going because we're so busy living life. But what is your story going to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Do you need to grow as a leader? Do you need to improve as a mom? Do you need to grow as a husband? Do you need more, be a more focused student? Do you need to get a hold of your finances? Well, I encourage you, connect with a mentor. Begin praying. Get your finances under control. Take a Dave Ramsey course. Do what you have to do to start telling a different story in your life now. Maybe your marriage isn't where you need it to be. You can begin to spend more time with your mate. Set a date night once a week. Pray together. Do what you need to do to move your story in the direction that you know God would want it to be. I want to challenge our church to grow. This year, we're talking about being disciples, and I think it's easy to focus sometimes on the spiritual, but in our church, we believe that God created us a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And when we get out of balance in one of those areas, we're going to miss the mark that God wants us to achieve in our life. So here's what I want to do today. And this is going to be the practical application of my message. So if you have your phone, I want you to take your phone out and I want you to open up your notes. If you're taking notes, I want you to get your pen ready and a piece of paper, and I want you to write at the top, start. Start. And you could type it out in your notes in your phone, or you can write it down on your pad or your piece of paper. But I want everybody in here initiating this and writing at the top, start. Start. Now's a good time for you to write something down. Man, I'm preaching this message. I'm talking about starting. Pastor Tim preached on habits. I'm preaching on habits and discipline. What is it that you today, sitting in here, can start tomorrow? Start. Now, don't overthink it. Don't make it too hard, because that's what we tend to do. I want you to write something down. As I'm coming, kind of wrapping up my message, as I'm kind of ending what I'm talking about, what habit, what discipline? Maybe, you know what, Paul, I've always known I needed to read books. I know I need to be a reader. Man, I'm just not good at doing that. Maybe reading could be something you can do. Well, Paul, I'm just not good at reading books. Okay, we'll get you an Audible account and listen to an Audible book. You know, okay, I'm going to begin to listen to a book to and from work. Well, you know I need to listen to podcasts. I need to feed myself. You know, all right, get with somebody. Talk to somebody who listens to a lot of good self-help podcasts and let them set. Well, I don't even know how to set that up on my phone. Well, get somebody to teach you. We got lots of 12-year-olds around here that can show you exactly how to do that. There's no better time than now for you to start writing your future. Now, here's the temptation. Well, Paul, that's a great idea. That sounds really good. I'll try that sometime and then put it off. That's what people do. This is what we want to avoid doing. What do you know? And most of you, as I'm up here speaking, the Holy Spirit's already been convicting you of what you know you need to start. But here's what I'll tell you. If you don't start now, a year from now, you'll wish you had. If you don't start now, the clock's ticking. And we all have to understand the Bible's very clear. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that a man will reap. We can't expect church to continue to do the same thing and get different results. We've got to take charge. We've got to partner with God. We've got to make a difference and begin to implement change in our life. Who's going to start your story? Well, there's only one person, you. You're the only one that can start change in your life. What is it for you that God has been speaking to you that you need to start? What habit? What discipline? What thing can you begin to do? Maybe, you know, I can begin to cut back on some of this. I'm out of balance. I do a little too much of this. Man, I'm going to give myself over here. Yeah, we're going to open up our home. We're going to begin. You know what? I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to start texting people. I'm going to start doing a little post on social media, encourage people. And 3 or 4 days a week, I'm just going to begin to start a new habit in my life. Nothing big. Just one small decision can be a catalyst for a big change in your story many years down the road. But here's what I can tell you as I close. God has a great ending in mind for your story. It's a story of success. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that life might be more abundant. So we already know the story that God wants to tell. We know the ending that God wants us to have. What we have to do is position ourselves. Come on, church. Position ourselves to end the way God wants us to end. Today, I want to encourage you, as I close, start. Whatever it is that God has for you to do, start. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. This week, you go and start what it is that God would have you start. Amen? Amen. Stand with me this morning. Let's give God a hand clap. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement. God, we ask that you help us. Help us start. God, help us be the people that you've called us to be, so that we'll walk into the life that you have for us to live. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.